Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Russian troops today renewed their advance on key Ukrainian cities. In the port of Mykolaiv Sunday, Ukrainian soldiers held off the Russians and actually pushed them back, but Russian troops continued to move in on several cities, including the capital of Kyiv. Since the war began, 1.7 million Ukrainians have fled the country, and 360 civilians have been reported killed. Let's go to CNN's Sam Kiley. He's in Dnipro in eastern Ukraine. He's senior international correspondent. Sam, thank you for being here again.
Thank you.
What's the situation now in Dnipro?
Well, I'm speaking to you from a park just outside my hotel where I do not adjust your sets. The droning in the background isn't something wrong with the audio. It's sirens that have been going for most of the day. And this, I think, is in part due to concerns that have been expressed by the Ukrainian National Security Council that the Russian plan may be to, if they succeed in capturing Mykolaiv, to push up that western side of the Dnieper River towards Dnipro, possibly even encircling it, at the very least cutting it off from potentially the rest of the country. And that would be a significant strategic blow, obviously, to the Ukrainians. I have to say also that my colleague Jim Shuto has been reporting that the American analysis is that the Russians have committed about 90% of their land forces to this war. Mm-hmm. Now, in that case, they are going to be severely stretched. And I think that is why we're also seeing this change of strategy from one of combating purely military targets to attacking increasing numbers of civilians all over the country.
And are the people in Dnipro staying put for now, or are a lot of them trying to get out?
A lot of people have already left. A lot of families are having that debate. For example, CNN, we spoke to three brothers just yesterday, one of whom with his small child and wife were remaining. The other two had already sent their families out of the country. It's a heart-wrenching decision, obviously, but at least the decision that people in Dnipro are making at the moment in the absence of shelling. That is less certainly not the case in Mykolaiv, in villages outside Zaporizhia. Of course, in Mariupol, it's not an option at all because they're entirely surrounded and besieged. But the numbers of refugees, we understand from the United Nations, leaving the country now numbering some 1.7 million. And that is very significantly up by about 700,000 in just a few days. So the exodus is profound. I mean, this is still, there are 44 million people in this country, and they're also intent on putting up quite a serious defense. And we've seen the results of that with Russians getting effectively bogged down in a number of locations.
The evacuations, as far as you can tell where you are the people safe to leave?
They're safe as they leave Dnipro. They're less so as they leave Zaporizhia, where I was yesterday. And that is because the Russian forces are about 30 miles out of town, and there are very serious concerns that they might hit rail traffic as it moves west. There has been attacks out of Kyiv on railways and rail traffic. The Russians have armed forces, their ground forces, are, if you like, around the periphery of the country. They're also able to reach deep into the country with aerial bombardments.
You mentioned the tactic of Russian troops appearing to encircle some of the cities in southern Ukraine. What does that mean for the people who are still there? Do they still have access to food, water, electricity?
Well, we've been talking to the deputy mayor of Mariupol, speaking to my colleagues on CNN just moments ago. He was saying that they cannot get out or anything in. The International Committee of the Red Cross has been, alongside the Ukrainian government, has been trying to send in a relief convoy of food and other material for several days now. They've also jointly been trying to evacuate people, many thousands of people, and that has not proved possible at all. The Russians have offered evacuation routes into their own territory, a pretty ludicrous offer, frankly, since nobody's going to take it, and it would mean traveling through areas that are heavily contested.
And finally, can you give us a sense of the map here? Americans have heard of Mariupol and other cities in the south. How did these moves fit into the map of presumed Russian plans?
Well, if you imagine Ukraine is more or less rectangular, pretty much straight down the center. There's a lozenge of territory that the Russian forces drove down towards Kiev, and they're now on the north and northwestern edge of Kiev. But if you then look further, much further east, you've got the city of Kharkiv, which is only about 25 miles into the country across the Russian border. That has a 75% Russian-speaking population. The Russians assumed that would be a cakewalk, and it wasn't. They wandered into this town and got absolutely hammered. And then if you come into the center of the country, there's Dnipro, which is where I am, which is on the Dnieper River, arguably the next major strategic target for the Russians, if they are able to push further in. And they are being held. Ukrainian forces have not melted away, but clearly Vladimir Putin had been told they would.
CNN's Sam Kiley there in Dnipro in central eastern Ukraine. Take care of yourself and your team, Sam. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.